Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Today's guest on the USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast is Caleb Ross. Ross is the new head coach at Alabama's Opelika High School. He previously served as head coach at McGill-Tulane, where he captured a 2015 state title and guided the team to a 22-game win streak. He also guided McGill-Tulane to the USA Football 7-on-7 National Championship in 2016. We're excited to have Coach here and hear about what he does on and off the field to build a successful program. Coach Ross, welcome to Coaching Coordinator Podcast.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Coach, as you begin this new situation, how do you develop the team leadership?
Well, that's a good question. You know, good thing about going on at Opelika, they have been doing a really good program, and it was really based on leadership. And I think so we'll continue doing a lot of that. I think you got to really get to know the guys that you think are going to make a difference that everybody responds to. For a good example, I've been on the job here about 2 weeks, but I kind of found out who are the kids going to respond to from the coaches and asking other players, and still got about 5 or 6 names. And so I already met with those guys and wanted to say, hey, look, what's our plan moving forward? You know, these are things that I expect from you. This is what I think we need to do to, you know, the things I think create separation from your opponents. And these are things I think create a culture. And I think you do that. So you talk to those guys and then you kind of, you know, let those guys go in and, hey, you're the go-between me and the rest of the guys in the locker room. And then I think you try to provide a lot of leadership opportunities where maybe you know, we've done a lot of sports psychology stuff. I've kind of done like a little teaching series off of different sports psychologists being here close to here in Alabama. You know, we hear a lot of the Kevin Elko stuff because, you know, programs around here have used him. We've used other motivational leadership points. We've talked a lot from, you know, some of the Tony Dungy stuff and, some of his versions of leadership. And we've taught it like a class. And then to me, provide them with a lot of opportunities to get out in the community. Because I think what happens whenever you get those guys and they're doing community service, they start getting perspective and they start seeing, man, not only am I a leader for the football team, but I can be a leader in this community. And I think you give them a sense of being appreciative of what they've got, giving them perspective. And I think it's all relative. But I know this, you're right. The teams that, and I know it gets cliche a lot of times, but the teams that have been the most successful that I've coached at have had really good leadership. Very rarely do you have a team that has poor leadership that goes on to win a championship. We've had good leadership, and we've been very fortunate. But I think those are some of the things that we've done to kind of, you know, I guess, improve that or try to teach that and instill that into our program.
Now, Coach, with your X's and O's, are those going to be something that, you continue moving forward with maybe what they had in place? Is it going to have a spin on it that's a little bit more of your own? What's the approach when you take over a program like this that's been having success with their offense, defense, special teams?
Sure. That's a really good question as well. You know, I'm an offensive guy. That's where I've been coaching for the last really 10 years of my career, 11 years. I've been an offensive coordinator. I've called my own plays when I've been a head coach. So I'll bring kind of my offense. The good news is it's very similar to what they've been doing now. And like I told our guys, for me to be comfortable with them to call it, I'm going to put a lot of our terminology into it. But it's really the same stuff. You know, high school football is getting very people kind of repeat and do the same things have been successful. We're a multiple spread team. We've studied from many numerous places, colleges, and looked at other high schools, and we've taken a little bit of everything. But we're an up tempo team. We believe in that. We believe in getting a lot of snaps per game and all the things that those type teams do. So we're deep into that. From a defensive standpoint, they've been very good on defense and kind of walked to a situation where they got a lot of defensive guys intact. So, you know, in my mind, I'm going to be very heavily involved in offense. I definitely want to know what we're doing on defense, and I definitely have some thoughts. But, I really kind of give a lot of freedom to who's running our defense. And we got some good guys that they've been very successful. I think in the last 5 years, they've only given up about 15 points a game. So, I know that let those guys go coach ball. I want to know what they're doing, and here's how I want practice to run, and here's how I think here's some things I think can help us. But those guys have been successful. They've got experience. So, you know, you don't really want to mess with that too much. But offensively, you know, we'll kind of put our spin on it. But at the end of the day, they've been very successful in offense as well. So, you know, it's really not changing a whole lot. It's just kind of putting our terminology. We'll add a few wrinkles here and there. And I think that's really kind of about it. And at the end of the day, and this sounds real coach speak, but it all you're all going to do what you got personnel wise. You know, the type of athletes we had at previous places, if we had more of a receiver, smaller athletic guys, which we kind of had last year where I was at McGill, we were true more just 10 personnel spread offense. At Opelika, we've got those kids too, but we got a little bit more bigger kid, a little more physical kid. So maybe we run a little bit more downhill, a little more power scheme, and base our game off of run and play action stuff. So really, it being my first spring here, first season here, I really got to get in and see what our guys can do, and then we'll kind of tweak our offense, you know, according to our personnel.
Coach, one of the things that usually remains consistent for a coach, you know, whether he's at a new place that he has to rebuild or a place like you're going to where, you know, they have had success, is that you're going to run your practice a certain way. You're going to do things a certain way there and have, like you mentioned, your attention to detail. Talk to us about what a typical practice looks like for you.
Sure, and that's a great, and there are a couple of things that you almost say they're non-negotiable. Well, that's one of them. That's one thing that, yeah, they have been very successful, and I think they run really good practice. But I know this, I've got to run it, the practice, the way I believe, because I've seen it. And that's one of those things that, man, I'm not going to compromise on just because I've seen it done this way. And here's the good news. Most of the programs, when they're successful, they're doing a lot of the same stuff anyway. So I don't think it's going to be too far off. But in a typical practice, we're going to be very organized. We believe in running things off of a period clock. I believe in setting parameters, a definite time. We're going to start at this time. We're going to end at this time. We're going to coach off tape. I want a lot of energy. We do like music going at different parts of times during practice. Now, during instructional times, I don't like music, but when it gets to competition and team and stuff like that, man, we want it blaring, and we want the kids getting used to that environment. And I think the kids enjoy it. It's a new type of kid, and they're going to enjoy the music. They get into it. It makes it, you know, more exciting for them. But I believe in scripted practice. We'll script out every detail of our practice. Now, we'll have some flexibility parts of our practice where you can get more of a game feel, because a lot of times being a good play caller is not really running off the script. It is when you got, you know, your situational stuff, but a good play caller, man, it's a feel thing. So there's parts of practice that you got to build that in to get yourself ready for a game night. But pretty much everything else is all scripted, man. You just want, because there's certain things that you want to run against certain looks. Man, we believe in a lot of energy. Don't like guys walking around. One thing you will not see at our practices, we don't believe in conditioning. We believe if our practice is organized and it's scripted out and we got things prepared and we're pushing guys to move from drill to drill, they don't need to condition after practice. They can condition during practice. And it's worked. Everywhere we've been, we have never had an issue with kids cramping up or seeing them be tired. But you really got to push the kids early on, because it's something that's just not natural. Man, they get those thresholds and they think they can't go anymore, but the body says, you know, you can. And it's a gradual thing. They got to get better and better every day. But I think the practices are one of those things that create separation from your competition. And man, we're big believers in how we practice and getting the most out of it in the time that's given.
Coach, you mentioned the play calling aspect, and you know, I kind of believe it's a mix of art and science. I think it's somewhere in the middle, because I think you can plan all those things out, but then you, like you said, you have to have a bit of a feel for it on game day. That call sheet certainly isn't a static document. Things change, you know, from what you first planned in the office to, you know, as you start facing game day and things start to move around and things happen. You have to face different adversities during the game. But talk to us about the process of taking your game plan and moving it to that very detailed script that guides your practices through the week. What's the process for you?
And that's a great point. That's a great question. You said it best too. What you said is probably the best way of putting it, is a good mix of art and science. And we're a detailed, organized, we're going to no stone unturned, we're going to be prepared. you know, you have a good procedure in place on the weekends of getting all your data in to run the reports to see what the other team's doing. Then you're going to base your game plan off of that, off of, you know, to me, we kind of got the toolbox theory. We're going to put a, we got a bunch of tools in the toolbox, but each week we're going to pull different tools out to use to attack the team we're going to play based off of their personnel and based off of what their defense scheme and structure is. So, you know, and their tendencies. But then you get into it. So you do all that and you got, we like this formation. We like this play. We're going to present it this way. We feel like this will give us a chance to be successful. But then you get into a game, and you do. You have a call sheet, and you have situations because, you know, we have certain third down calls that we like. You know, I mean, we go into each game, all depends. But once I know this, is being a play caller now for about 9 years, you've got to – it's a feel thing. You get into it, and you just kind of know, man, this you know, you may have scripted something, and this looks great in practice. You can get into it, and – man, this is not working tonight. We got to get off of this. And then it's kind of you feel the defense and you base your call. So if you're running the ball and you feel that the defense is closing in, safeties are creeping down, and you know, you feel when you got to take that chance to take a play action shot, or maybe this is the time for a good trick, or, hey, I think they're really trying to fit the box pretty heavy. I think we can get out on the perimeter. So I think it's all a feel. That's why, to me, as a play caller, I started going down on the field probably about 5 or 6 years ago, because I think you get a better feel. Now, I think, you know, there's merit to both. There's merit to being up top where you can see it all, and you can kind of see the back end. You can see the rotation of the defense. But I think sometimes when you get up in a booth, kind of away from the game, you get very robotic, very scripted. And like you said, it's a good mix of art and science. So, and there's times when you got to be scripted. You know, hey, we said we were going to go through this, and oh yeah, that's right. So I got on my play call sheet. Hey, let's call this play, and it's going to work. And there's a lot of times when, you know what, we ref that, and we said we were going to run that in this situation, but I'm telling you, this play's better, and we call it, and it's successful. So that's kind of how we do it. And we, like I said, it's a very detailed process on the weekend, but we build in flexibility where we can adjust if we need to.
How do you narrow it down on the weekend? Because obviously, you know, if you have good coaches on your staff, everybody's going to be giving some great input. Ultimately, though, you can't carry all of those things. So what's the process look like in narrowing it down to something that can be practiced? Because obviously, that's the biggest part, that you're able to script that into a practice and get it the reps it needs.
You probably the question that any offensive coordinator has to battle. I think all of us battle that every week of what to put in and, you know, what to leave in, what to leave out type question. And that's a, you know, to me, obviously there's base things that you know you're going to do. You know, we're a big inside zone team, so we feel like we're going to run that. That's going to be in our game plan no matter what, because it's just, it's our day one install run. You know, you feel like it handles a lot of fronts, different movements, and it's kind of the, you know, you're always going to go into that. And there's probably a couple of just standard plays that you're going to do every week. But then what you do off the other, you just kind of look at their defense. You know, you look at the things that have been successful against them. Maybe, hey, they've really struggled to perimeter run game. Maybe they're, and their personnel. You know, maybe you play a team and they're real thick in the middle and you're running inside early is just not going to be an option, guys. It's not going to be very successful. But you know what? We can get out on the edge because maybe that's where they're lesser athletes or they're not quite experienced there. Or, you know, you go into a situation where, hey, look, their front seven is really experienced and really good, but they're really young in their secondary. So maybe early on, you got to take some shots. You throw the ball to take advantage of their inexperience. And I think it all determines you got to do all that in your game plan. You got to know all that information. And then you really lean on your coaches. You divide up those responsibilities of who's going to be looking at what, who's going to be studying this, and then you get together and you collaborate. And based off of that, you kind of determine, hey, we're going to run these type routes. They really struggle to line up this formation, and we're going to really run this type run game. With that being said, there's going to be a handful of things you're going to do no matter what, because you've repped it so many times, you feel like your kids can handle. They can handle anything, no matter what front, no matter what look. And, you know, then it all comes down to personnel. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes you play guys, and they just got better players, and there's times when we got better players, so it really don't matter. But all of that goes into game planning.
Coach, you mentioned a division of responsibilities. Typically, how do you break that up between your staff members so that everybody's contributing and that you have an efficient process?
Well, you first got to kind of find out what you think your guys are capable of. You know what I mean? Some guys are you're going to get more out of them than others. And some guys have – maybe this guy is not a real big technology guy, or maybe he's not as good detailed in this area, but you know he's really good over here. So you try to put your guys to their strengths based off their personalities and their skill set. Then also, I think it's really position specific. You know, I think if you're looking at, I mean, you want your O-line coaches, you want them kind of really studying the defensive front, because they're going to be coaching against that group and kind of preparing their guys of what they're going to see. You obviously want your receivers to really be studying the secondary and the back end, because they're the ones kind of their guys are going to be, you know, playing against those, the back end and the secondary. So you want to know, hey, they're going to react to this in this situation. You know, I think everybody has a different responsibility when it comes to position specific, but then also in learning what, hey, this guy does this really well. And, you know, he's not really good in this area, but you know what, he does this really, really well. And, cause I've had guys before that, man, they're really good at self-scouting. I mean, hey, this guy can take our, he's going to take our information and he'll have a report for you by the end of the day of, coach, hey, we do this out of this formation now. We run this a lot. We probably need to change this up a little bit. So I think it's all, it depends on the skill set of your staff, and it's all position specific of the guy, the group they're going to be coaching, of what they're going to be seeing for that week.
Coach, let's switch gears a little bit and put the focus back on you. Let's think back to when you were a young coach. What's a mistake you made, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, that's a great. You know, when I took my first head coaching job, you know, the mistake I made is I probably was a boss and not a leader enough. You know what I mean? I think I said that earlier. I know, but. You know, where it was, hey, I need you to do this, and just I expect you to do this. Well, like I said, man, if they're not getting it done, then I've got to step in and say, all right, this is what I need from. I'm going to show you how to do this and get in there and maybe do it yourself. I think that's probably one thing. I think every coach struggles a little sometimes with delegating, especially when you're younger. You think you got to do it all. And I probably still struggle with that to some degree. And that's probably a mistake, because at some point you're going to be stretched too thin, and then – I know from a personal standpoint of trying to find that good balance, you know, as a young coach, you know, trying to find that balance of, man, I want to be good in my career and good as a coach, but also, man, I got a wife and two small kids. And at the end of the day, I've got to be a good man before I'm a good football coach, and making sure I'm doing enough at home. You know, I think another mistake a lot of guys make, I think they're not themselves. And I think we all struggle with that. You know, I got to be me. I got to coach the way my personality is, the way I'm designed, and the way God designed me. So I've got to do it that way. You know, instead of trying to be, well, this is how this successful coach at this high school does it, or this is how this coach in the NFL does it, or this is how this coach in the college ranks does it. You know, I think we got to be who we are. And I think because then it's authentic. And I think people will listen. They will follow people that are authentic. And I think these kids, you can't fool them now. They'll know this guy isn't real. This guy isn't, he doesn't believe this. Cause I think when you're authentic and you're coaching to your skill set and your personality, then it's believable and you believe in yourself, and people can read that. They can feel that. And I think that's probably one mistake that a lot of young coaches do. You know, they kind of want them. There's nothing wrong with modeling yourself after a lot of guys. Cause I mean, man, we studied everybody and we've tried to do some of the best stuff from awesome, a lot of great coaches at the high school, college, and pro level. But in the day, I've got to do the stuff that fits my personality.
What's the best piece of advice you've received in your career?
Probably that right there. One of the things I just said, I think too, you know, don't be always try to learn football, even never. And I think one of the best things I heard, and probably goes back to when I worked for Pete Hurt, my very first job, he used to say something, and at the time I got it, but didn't really get it. You know, you never really arrive in this world. Don't ever feel like you got to the point where you got it figured out. And I always try to tell that to the guys on my staff. Hey, if we go to a clinic or you get a chance to go listen, and it may be something that, hey, that guy's talking about something that we already do. Yeah, but you know what? He may say one buzzword, or he may have one drill that is new. And it may be a better way of coaching or teaching than we're already doing it. Just never feel like you're at a point where you got it figured out, because that's when people, you know, you get complacent and people will pass you. And that's tough. I mean, because, you know, sometimes you get real comfortable. Hey, we're really good at this. But I think, too, you always got to find ways to try to improve. I've tried to collect as much information. I know I was told as a very young coach, I had a guy that said, man, he had a binder of all the clinic notes, all the articles. He just printed them off, or he took them and he kept them. And so I did that as a young coach, and I started collecting that information. And I've been fortunate that I've probably of all the clinics and people I've talked to, articles, videos I've watched, and the study ball colleges we visited, I've got 90-95% of my notes and that stuff from that. And I've been fortunate enough to keep those in binders. You download them, put them into some type of electronic copy where I have access to that, so I can give it to my staff. I can go back and study the notes when I need to. That has been really, really valuable, and I think that is one piece of advice I'd give any coach.
I have to digitize all my stuff, Coach. I have it all in boxes, notebooks, piles of notebooks, legal pads, etc. I don't even know where stuff is. Someday I'm going to find somebody to just take on that project for me, but it's great that you have that available for your staff.
That's no doubt. And I think my wife says, well, if you got all this digital stuff, why you still keep the binders? And I say, well, just in case. So, because it takes up boxes in the attic or boxes in the garage or something. But I'm like, I'm a football junkie. I try to collect as much information as possible. So.
Coach, you had a great experience at our 7-on-7. Talk to us a little bit about, how that, helped bring your team together and what being a part of something like that. You guys were the national champs of our 7-on-7. Tell us about that process for you.
Sure. First of all, I think, what gets back to you want to, how do you make things fun for kids? Well, you got to build in competition. And I think that's one thing that what the 7-on-7 does is it creates competition for your kids. I think, and especially on a big event like, USA football and what they did and having the big national championship, I think what that does, it puts kids on center stage, because you have a lot of successful teams. They get into some pressure situations. Maybe they get into a big playoff game and they just can't handle the moment. The kids aren't used to playing with that type of pressure. Well, how do you deal with that? To me, the only way is just you've got to do it over and over and over. To me, the more I do something, the more comfortable I do and I get in those situations. I react better. I respond better. Well, I think to me, you got to put your kids in those situations. That's why we do it. And I think the other reason is, man, if you're going to throw the football, I think you've got to invest in 7-on-7. I know there's some – you got a lot of old-school guys out there, and they don't believe in it. They just say, I don't know if I believe in all that 7-on-7 stuff. I think you got to be realistic that, hey, it's not real. It's not real football from a blocking and tackling standpoint, but it is competition, and it is reaction, and it is – if you're going to throw the football, man, the timing of quarterback and getting the ball out and the receivers catching it, I think that is really critical. We believe in it. We do. We keep it in perspective. But I think those things are really important. And the other thing, too, it gets your chance. What we've always enjoyed about it is we've gone away to tournaments where, man, your team really bonds. It gets back to what we talked about earlier. The leadership and how do you bond with your team? Well, when you stay overnight in a hotel and you eat team meals together, and, man, you really start to – you get to identify your guys as a coach. Man, that guy – those kids really respond to that guy, or maybe I don't know if they really enjoy being around that guy. So you get to kind of identify who your leaders are, and also it brings guys together. Man, it's those experiences where those kids, where they want to play for one another. And I think I've said it thing, about a championship team, it's the, man, you want them to play for one another. They're going to play for their school to some degree. They'll play for their coach, but all those things are going to, at some point, run out. Playing for themselves will run out real quick. But if they'll play for one another, I think that's the teams that are special. That's the teams that win championships.
Coach, this game certainly demands a lot from coaches. How do you create balance in your life between the profession and your family and your health, your other things that have to be important in your life?
That's a great, great, great question. I think it's one thing I struggle with even today. I said this going into coaching. I said this a long time ago. I've got to be a good man before I'm a good coach. So if that means, hey, I got to get out of this office and quit looking at video or quit trying to prepare for this opponent. I got to go spend time with my daughter or my son, or I got to go spend time with my wife. That's very important. I think as much, but there is a demand. There is a demanding part of the profession where there are things that got to get done. You have to get certain things done to be successful. And I think we all struggle with that. I think as a head coach, it's my job to provide as many situations where you can do both. Like if we're going to have a team meal, then we're going to invite the coaches and the families up. If the coaches have children and maybe it's after school, but they can't go pick their son up or their daughter up. Well, hey, they're always welcome at practice. They can always play around, jump on dummies. Man, we want to create that environment where they're always welcome. because you know, none of us want to look up 20 years from now and you feel like, man, I really don't know my kids, or I don't, you know, I have a really good wife at home that makes it work, and I really haven't done what's right with her of making her life, you know, better. So, you know, I think that's a great question. I think we all struggle with it, and it's a demanding, because you feel like you don't ever want to get outworked, or what's the next scheme, or what's the next drill, and you want to be on top of it. But I think at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to say, look, it is what it is, and if I'm going to be the best I can be, I'm going to put this amount of time into it, and if that's not good enough, then so be it. I've got to be a good man for him, a good football coach.
Coach, I'm sure with the different programs you've been at that you've really put some attention into your feeder programs as well. And obviously, we're doing a lot at USA Football with flag football. We have our new rookie tackle, a modified game that builds up to 11-man tackle. In your opinion, what's the appropriate pathway for a young player to develop? Where should they start, and at what points do they move up into some different phases of development through your feeder systems?
Sure. I think first, if you start from the little group, I'll say this. I don't know if I'm a real big opponent or a real big, I guess you can say I'm a real big, I guess somebody that supports kids playing tackling football when they're younger. This is what I said, because I got a son, and he's going to be old enough in a few years to go get into that. And people ask me, were you going to let your son play football? Now, yes, I am. I think football, there's more to gain. Sure, there's an injury risk, but there's an injury risk in anything you do. And I know this, of every guy I've ever played with in college, man, we're all functioning fine. You know what I mean? I just think sometimes it's overhyped in the media. And I do think it's better now. A lot of coaches are because of efforts by USA Football and different groups, that there's a safer aspect to the game. But I think, to me, though, when it comes to contact sports, I really all depends on who's coaching it. I mean, that to me is probably you want to make somebody that's certified, somebody that's qualified. And if they're good with kids and they know how to teach it the right way, then I'm all for my kid playing a contact sport. If I'm not real sure, then I think you got to get your kid involved in flag footballs and 7-on-7s when they're young, because I want them to be around the game. And there's a lot of conditioning. There's a lot of change of direction. There's a lot of things that kids learn, a lot of ball skills, hand-eye coordination, things they develop when they're younger that will allow them to be better. Now, I think as a coach and as a coaching staff, I think you've got to help facilitate that. I think you've got to be involved in your youth leagues. You got to sit down with the groups that, I guess, make the rules for those leagues and make sure they're doing it the proper and the safe way. You also want to make sure that, hey, we're here to help you and we're going to be involved. And that's, you know, especially if you have a situation like the town I'm in now of Opelika, where we have it's one city, one school. So I can go out to the youth leagues and those kids, you know, as long as they stick with football, most of them are going to come to play football at Opelika. So you want to create that where it's exciting for them. You know, if it's youth nights, getting in the games free, whatever it is, you want kids to want to go play later on at the high school level. And I think at your middle school and in your freshman level, I think the main goal there, and it's funny because I just had these conversations with our middle school and freshman coach in the last week because of the new job I took. And everybody's like, man, you want to win? Oh, sure, we want to win. But our main objective at that level is we want kids to enjoy this game. And I think if you treat kids right, you teach them the proper way, man, enjoy playing the game of football. That's the first thing. Then, yes, teach them the proper way. You know, what's the right fundamentals? No coach wants that to wait till they get a senior or a junior or a sophomore, whenever they decide to play high school football, and you're having to teach them how to come out of a stance or how to block or how to tackle, the basic foundations of it. And then I think, obviously, you want them to be able to do the things. What's the transition from their program, from that level to your level? You know, you want them running the same system, same offensive terminology, defensive terminology. That way you're not having to reteach that stuff, or you're not having to make up as much ground when they get to you. And that's all, I think all that stuff's relevant. And trying to provide as many resources and as much of an open door policy with your feeder school coaches and youth league, just building that relationship.
Coach, we're going to do a quick 2-minute drill here. Just some quick question and answers. So here's the first one. Schematically, what's the toughest defense to face?
Some type of odd front when you don't know where it's coming from.
What's your favorite goal line play?
Oh, probably some type of rub, pick play, route play with trying to get your receiver out in space. Get a lot of man coverage in the red zone, goal line.
Turf or grass?
I'm used to the turf. I like to play fast, and I think if it's consistent, you know what you're going to get.
What's your favorite backfield set?
We probably We probably line. We're spread. We're 10 personnel, but we're losing two back and certain different formations out of the 10 personnel we like. It's probably our favorite.
Day game or night game?
I guess because I coach high school football, and in the state of Alabama, we mainly play a night game, so I'd say a night game.
What's your favorite quote?
I guess that's pretty one I've always used. Invest your time, don't spend it.
If you had to run your offense from one formation, what would it be?
2x2, some type of 2x2. Well, I take that back. Let me trips. You can probably get a little more out of trips. I love trips.
Should the kickoff be eliminated?
Not yet. I get it now. I see it, but not yet. I think we still can be okay with it.
If you could pick one football coach from the past to learn from, who would it be?
I'm coming from Alabama. I could say easy cliche, could say like a Bear Bryant would probably be too easy, but any of those guys, I know it's a cop-out answer, but any of those guys, I'd be tickled.
How about one from the present?
Oh, man, you got to say, you probably got to say a Belichick or Saban or Meyer. I mean, I know those guys are easy too, but I don't think those guys are. Obviously, Saban, what he does with the program is really, incredible, getting the most out of the resources given. So
Those are the most popular answers, Saban and Belichick.
I know. It's too easy.
Good job on the two-minute drill, Coach. And here's a final question, and one that I think you, with all the success you've had at the different places you've been, have some insight into this. What's the one thing you would point to as giving your team the winning edge?
I think it gets back to what I said earlier. The teams and that won championships, those kids played for one another. And creating that culture, creating where they want to play for one another, because the older I get, the more I realize it's about people and it's getting the most out of people. And I know the team, like I said, when they'll play for you to some degree, they'll play for themselves, which only gets them so far. They may play for their school and community, but at the end of the day, if they'll play for one another, the other guys in the locker room, if you can somehow create that, create where they believe in one another, that's the teams that go further than any other team.
Coach, how can our listeners connect with you?
They can. They're more than welcome to email me if they want. I can give my email address. It's CalebRoss55@gmail.com. That's CalebRoss55 @gmail.com. That's probably the best way. If they want to email me any questions, I've got tons of resources. We can communicate. I'll give them whatever. I've got it from somebody else, so we don't have secrets.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time with us here. It's been enjoyable, and I know our listeners could take a lot away from this.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.